Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
It is Nice Call with Stephen Langford and Tommy Call. We will be in with you up until 8 o'clock, and we will get to all the topics that we got to talk about a little later on, because we are joined by
Clear the line,
because we go to the Dialpad guest line now. We're joined by a very special guest, 49ers starting strong safety Jaquaski Tartt with us here on 95.7 The Game. How's it going, Jaquaski? You're in L.A. right now, right?
Yeah, we just actually made it like 30 minutes ago, but thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. How was the flight, for one thing? What's the spread like when you're going on a flight to L.A.? It's a relatively short flight, but do they still give you that kind of spread for what you get with normally with football flights?
Not really. It's a quick flight. So, once we get in the area, it's all good. I just took me a quick little nap.
Jaquaski, I want to know, before we look ahead to this game against the Rams last week, Monday Night Football, I was at the game, and I could see, you could feel all the way up in the press box the presence of Baker Mayfield, and it seemed at one point in the game he quit. Is that fair to say? Did you guys feel that on the field out there?
No, not really. I don't think. I mean, he's the ultimate competitor, so I doubt if he quit, you know. But, as far as the defensive mindset, that's what we want to make our opponents do, so.
One of the bigger stories that happened after that game going into this week was the whole handshake debacle with Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield during the pregame. And regardless of what happened, just the fact that it was motivational, we all kind of loved it out here in the Bay Area. But did Richard Sherman kind of say anything to you guys before the game started, like, hey, Baker Mayfield curved me on this handshake here, we got to go out and get him right now?
No, I was actually unaware of it, to be honest. But each week we come out, and as far as the defense, we just want to dominate everyone. And then as far as, you know, the one guy he had is 3-13 on the season. So it's a lot of things we're motivated by.
Yeah, and speaking to that, I know some of your teammates have talked about, Richard Sherman, Nick Bosa. They've talked about people questioning your guys' record and saying, oh, well, they haven't beaten anybody yet. Or I've even heard the word fake undefeated come out. How motivating is that to you? Is that bulletin board material type of stuff?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's an athlete's dream to be, for a lot of people to go against you. So for us, it's like, well, we know, like, going into last year, how much talent we have, and, you know, we just a few plays away from winning games. And just this year we're able to put it all together, and now it's showing.
49ers strong safety Jaquaski Tartt with Nice Call. Stephen Langford and Tommy Call here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of the talent, what's it like to play behind that front four? It seems like Robert Saleh, he doesn't even need to call any blitzes. He could just rush the passer with those four guys. How much fun has it been back there with those guys?
I mean, it's lovely, man, just seeing those guys. They've been working since, you know, the spring, and to just finally see it all goes, like, all put together. They've been doing a great job, but at the same time, you know, the linebackers in the secondary, we still have to do our job, because sometimes, you know, they may not get to the quarterback, but we still have to execute defensively.
Can you tell a difference between Robert Saleh this year and as opposed to other years? I mean, what's really working for him this year? And do you think that this guy is going to be a head coach in the future?
Yes, no doubt. I mean, a lot of our coaches in the building are great coaches. We've been getting coached very well. I mean, we've always been coached since Kyle and John came in. The coach has been doing a great job. But for us, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is each week Our practice has been like much harder than the games. Like our preparation, and a lot of people just see us show up on Sundays, but in reality, like what we do in the week is much harder than the games. So I'll say our preparation throughout the week has been a big thing for us.
One of the things you talked about, Jaquaski, before the season started was the communication of the defense. That's going to be one of the more important things going into this season. Going right now into week six, how are you feeling about the defense's communication with one another?
The defense communication, it's been well, but at the same time, there's a lot of room for improvement. I mean, last game, we had a few communication problems, but, you know, we end up tackling the ball carrier. But for us, I mean, just looking back at the stats last year, Coach Sala showed us how many busts we had on communication, and it was sad to look at, and it was like at least 80% of our explosive plays we gave up last year because of not communicating. So this year we've been on trying to communicate as best as we could and to eliminate explosive plays.
So you guys are playing the Rams this weekend. This is a team that has really done it at every level, the defending NFC champion. Is this just another opponent for you guys? Are you guys taking it game by game? Or is there the mentality of, you know, to be the best, you have to beat the best, and that starts this week in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, we've just been taking it game by game, honestly, and just, you know, each week we want to be the better team on Sunday or whatever day we play on. So that's been our main focus, is being a better team each week. So, I mean, the Rams, yeah, like you said, they was the division champs last year. But, I mean, it's a new year, and we want to show them that it's a new year.
49ers starting strong safety Jaquaski Tartt with Stephen Lankford and Tommy Call here on 95.7 The Game. Continuing with the Rams, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are kind of put in the same class when it comes to coaching, and they're a couple of the best play callers in the game. Do you have to be a little more diligent in your film study for the Rams because of what Sean McVay can bring in terms of play calling?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, they do a lot of things offensively, and they got the players and the talent to, you know, to get a lot of defenses off balance. So for us, it's just, you know, for us, as far as defensively, we just gotta just hone in on our assignments and stay sound.
All right, Jaquaski, I have to ask you, who are the Hot Boys, and can you kind of explain the nickname a little bit?
I really can't answer that. I mean, you got to ask. You got to get Corn or Fred on.
So you're not a Hot Boy?
Nah, that's just the backers, the linemen.
You can't get an application in for anything like that yet?
Nah.
They're not extending it out to the DBs?
Yeah, that's just the backers thing.
Ah.
They're going to have a lot on their hands in terms of the Rams running backs, but Todd Gurley has been ruled out for this week. Does that change up the kind of mindset that you have? It was kind of a late call on the Rams' part to take him out of the game, but does that change up your game plan at all?
A little bit, but at the same time, no, because, I mean, Malcolm Brown, he's a nice running back. He's a nice backup. He's a nice compliment to Todd Gurley. And for him, I mean, he can get it going. So we definitely want to dominate the run and not let them run the ball on us, because that'll open up a whole other can of a lot of things. But for us, we just want to dominate the run.
Did you think that they're heading into this season, there's been a lot of hype about this team, and this year you kind of have checked off a lot of those boxes to get to where you guys need to be. But can you manage that hype? Do you guys hear the outside noise, undefeated, that label and everything? Are you guys kind of clearing all that out, and how are you handling that hype?
For us, we kind of knew, like, far as just, you know, that we have the talent, we got what it takes to be undefeated. But at the same time, I mean, the focus is, you know, just, you know, staying humble and knowing, like, this is expected. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing new. This is what we should do.
49ers strong safety Jaquaski Tartt with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's the atmosphere been like at Levi's Stadium on Monday Night Football against the Browns? I mean, it was rocking that night. What's it been like so far this season?
Right. I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, I love the atmosphere we have now, and hopefully we stay like that the whole season, even the playoffs.
All right, Jaquaski, I have to ask you before we finish up here. I go down to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. Last year was my first year down there. I know that is where you're from. It wouldn't be doing it justice if I didn't ask you, do you have a food recommendation for me? Where do I have to hit when I head out to Mobile this year?
That's a tough question. It's so many different places I like to eat at home. It's hard to give you one place. But, I mean, it depends on if you love seafood or not.
Yeah, I did notice there was a lot of seafood places out there. I think we went to one place the first night. I can't remember the name of it. And we tried a barbecue spot. But, I wanted to see kind of the hometown vibes. Where's not the touristy spot, the real places to go.
I would say Boiling Pot. That's usually the one I go to every time I go home. I usually get shrimp po' boy. And you get a half a po' boy, a full po' boy. And the half po' boy can feed up to, like, 3 or 4 people. They put so many shrimp in there. And yeah, you get a full, it could feed to like 6 to 7 people. So they make sure you eat good.
Damn. 49ers strong safety, Jaquaski Tartt with us. Last question for you. So you were high school teammates with Jimmy Ward, and before the season started, when they finalized the rosters, they only put 3 safeties on the rosters. That's got to be pretty cool, knowing that you are the guys when you played in high school at one point.
Yeah, man, it's a wonderful feeling knowing, like, for us, we had a battle injuries in the past years, but now just being able to be at this point and, being able to play well, it's a great feeling.
49ers strong safety, Jaquaski Tartt here with us on 95.7 The Game. Thanks just so much for joining us, man. And hopefully you guys can keep that undefeated streak going tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck tomorrow, man.
Thank you.
Man, 49ers strong safety, Jaquaski Tartt. He's been good this season.
Yeah, very underrated. He is not mentioned as much as he should be, because this season, I mean, I feel like he's the guy that we haven't had to talk about a lot. Because defensive backs are definitely that position where you're really only talking about them when you see a pass interference, or they get burned long for a big gain or something like that. Where Jaquaski Tartt, we don't mention him that much, unless if it's a big hit, and that's got to be a great sign for the 49ers secondary. It's something we just don't talk about.
It feels like whenever they're pulling a strong safety blitz, it tends to have some sort of success. I think it was Quan Alexander, the one play that they blew up when the Browns were in their own end of the field, but there were a couple where Jaquaski Tartt, he got in there, man. So it was kind of cool having him on so far.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying saying this to Coz in the handoff. So the first time that I got to see Jaquaski in person with his pads off, it was, at training camp, I believe he was doing, a post-practice interview. And he's standing there, and I'm 6'3", and he's just making eye contact with me. The longest, most fit arm, I mean, just completely jacked, incredibly long arms. And I'm just looking at him like, man, you could never make it in there.
Yeah.
that was the one thing that I was like, you really actually thought you could play football at the next level? You're crazy. Looking at a guy like that, this guy would destroy you.
Yeah, kind of like a little realization moment.
Oh my,
there.
Like, this guy plays safety?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was supposed to run these guys over. This guy would push me over with one arm.
Exactly, and not a lot of people have the opportunity to do that. And when you're talking crap about, like, basketball players or football players or anything and saying they should be doing this, and then you go up to them and talk to them in person, you realize just how big these people are. All right. Coming up in the show today, I mean, we got a lot going on. We're obviously big with fantasy football, so any start or sits along the way that you have, feel free to text them to the Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-957-9570. But coming up, we got a big matchup with the 49ers and the Rams. And is this game a prove-it game for Jimmy Garoppolo out of any more of these Niner players, considering what they've done in these past 4 games that they've won? Is this one of the biggest for Jimmy Garoppolo, or the biggest going into this season? We'll discuss all that coming up. Stephen Langford, Tommy Call. It's nice call here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
What is this, Mafioso? A little Mafioso by Mac Dre on your Saturday evening. Nice call in with you, Stephen Langford and Tommy Call here on 95.7 The Game. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. We're already getting a couple, but feel free to get in your fantasy start or sit. You'll get them in as many as possible, and we'll try to answer as many as possible. We enjoy fantasy football on this show.
So we were off the air last week.
Yes.
How many people lost because of it? Shout out to the people in charge here at 95.7 The Game. You're costing people fantasy wins and losses when Steven and Tommy aren't on the air.
Can't do it.
I mean, there's no way that some people have taken our advice and gotten wins out of it.
Come on.
Because there's a couple that we've had that have been pretty good, but also there's a couple where it's just like, well, you know what? Every fantasy expert, they have their ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm preaching to people to start Ryan Fitzpatrick every week. Got to pick up a few wins there with that. Roll Dolphins defense and Ryan Fitzpatrick, guaranteed win.
Look, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
I'm not going to bring up what happened with Odell Beckham
Monday. Let's talk about it. No, let's get it out.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's get it out.
On Monday night, I didn't even look at fantasy because I was so mad. Both my teams lost.
Okay.
For one, I lost a matchup because I benched Josh Jacobs. I got a lot of running backs, and I had Melvin Gordon in my flex, and I had Kamara, and I expected LeSean McCoy, because he was on a little scoring streak, to at least have a big game. And going against the Bears defense, I did not expect Josh Jacobs to have that great of a game when he ended up having one of his best games of the season. But that was the reason I lost. And then so I didn't even look at any of my fantasy teams. I saw you had Odell
Beckham.
We were
playing against each other for some context here. It's a rivalry matchup, you know, rivalry week at the 95.7 The Game Fantasy League.
Right.
I was playing Steven, and I was down, I think, 7 points heading into Monday Night Football with Odell Beckham Jr.
Right, and I figured 7 points, he's going to get that easily. I don't even want to watch myself lose right now because that's just going to be too frustrating. Because I already lost to Anna the week previous, who I do the 5-6 show with. Thank you for filling in for me on Friday. You filled in.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
With Anna, though, I only scored 58 points. And just knowing that I did that against one of the people that I host with.
She was walking around with a little bit of a limp, you know, we were talking about it. She's like, yeah, he only scored 58 against me.
So coming in, I didn't even
look. She was ending every sentence by going,
I'm like, I didn't even want to look at the score just because I knew we were coming in the following week.
Yeah.
And then you texted me, dude, are you watching fantasy right now after Odell Beckham fumbled? And I didn't even put two
Odell
and two together.
Beckham fumble, I was up by 1.9 essentially is what I was up by. And that fumble was -2. So I lost by 0.1.
Yeah.
134.11 to 134.22 or 2-1.
No,
we
both, this is going to be embarrassing, but you know what? We're going to be real here. We're not going to fake it. I had, I think I had 111.44 and you had 111.34.
Yeah.
I think that's how it ended right there. So look,
brutal.
Feel free to text them in. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
That will not deter us from giving you guys our best advice.
It will not. Trust us.
Yeah.
Okay. You could trust us. But do want to talk about the 49ers right now, though.
Yeah.
Because they are undefeated.
Undefeated.
Playing the Browns on Monday night and absolutely dismantling, humiliating,
crazy,
embarrassing,
crazy,
whatever they did.
I asked Jaworski that about the quitting thing because that's how it felt, right? When you were watching that game, Baker Mayfield had his head, you know, staring down at his feet.
No doubt.
You had Odell Beckham not really doing Odell Beckham things. Jarvis Landry was the best offensive player on the field, who had 75 yards, I think is what he finished with. The offense just looked atrocious up and down. And then even the 49ers offense broke that defense. Myles Garrett, yeah, I think he had one sack, but other than that, really quiet. It really looked like they broke the Browns.
Yeah, and when you're looking at what they were doing, what the Browns have been doing all season, for the most part, Baker Mayfield's been getting the ball out quick in the wins that they've had.
Yeah.
He did that exact thing with Jarvis Landry, and that's why Jarvis Landry had so many yards after the catch, because they were just giving him short yardage passes, little 3 to 5 yard, just dink and dunks, and letting him get his yards after contact. And because of that, I figured that Jarvis Landry with Odell Beckham, it'd be the toughest test that they've had to face so far, but Odell Beckham was just non-existent for one thing, and then Jarvis Landry ended up being their leading receiver while not doing much.
Yeah, I think his biggest play was the Odell Beckham pass to Jarvis Landry.
That was it. That was it. And when we're thinking about that, only good defenses, they get the other team to throw the ball quick. And what the Browns were going to do, they obviously went into that game with that game plan to just get the ball out as soon as possible. But with that front four and the pass rush, it seemed like the Browns couldn't do that. He couldn't even do a three-step drop without being pressured and having to get outside the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the most impressive thing to me. I mean, obviously the pass rush is the one thing with what Nick Bosa did, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But just the fact that they were able to collapse the pocket and then have him break from it. And then the secondary, their coverage was perfect because there were multiple times where Baker Mayfield was just hitching, trying to find someone open, and he couldn't. So really, it was just an all-around performance by the defense. I didn't expect it. I really didn't. I expected the Browns to go in there, had a little chip on their shoulder, you know, 2-2.
Man.
But, I mean, they went in there, and the 49ers just totally dismantled them. And going up against the Rams, who knows what's going to happen, because with these two teams, they're both kind of in the same spot.
Yeah, well, it's weird that we're now going back-to-back of these games, because I think entering Browns week, that was the toughest opponent that the 49ers have played so far. And say what you will about the record, they're undefeated. There's a lot of people out there questioning that record. They haven't played anybody. That is a true narrative, you know, hovering over the 49ers. Well, now they're playing the Rams.
Right.
Was the Browns win enough, or do they need Rams victory to kind of validate themselves?
I think so.
I agree with you.
Going forward, man, the divisional games are the most important, because for one, it almost feels like no matter what the record is of each of these
teams,
throw whatever the stigma is of these teams, whatever I just said, throw away any sort of preconceived notions you have about the Rams, the Seahawks, the Niners, or the Cardinals when they play each other, because they just seem to be different games when they play.
The Rams are at the top of the mountain, right?
Yes.
The 49ers would kill to do what the Rams did last season. NFC champions, not only NFC West champions, NFC champions, played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Yes, it didn't work out for them, but to get there, that's something that the 49ers can't even sniff.
Right.
But a win in LA tomorrow kind of puts them on that path. And I think if they lose this game, it's going to set everything back a little bit, because all of those questions about anything we've said, the secondary, the offensive line, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I know we're going to spend a lot of today talking about, all of those questions about those units, those players, Kyle Shanahan as a coach, become louder. Because winning, you know, you can't say anything to winning, but losing opens everything up. And it's like, well, they couldn't beat the Rams.
Right.
Well, they couldn't beat the Rams. And that will have an effect on this team. I better believe it, because now you go into Washington, you go, we got to win this one. We got to win this one, because then they come back and the schedule gets a little tough. You play the Ravens, you play the Packers down the way. You have to set the tone right here, right now, tomorrow. You have this momentum, how Jaquaski Tartt was talking to us, feeling good about this, the expectation that they were able to do these things all along. I think I'm a big believer in momentum in sports and the winning attitude and having that mentality. All that goes out the window with the loss tomorrow.
You know what? And it's a good thing, because Jaquaski, he doesn't seem like the loudest guy on the field, but
no.
With the defense, though, and Nick Bosa.
With his pads, though.
Yeah, woo! Exactly. Yeah. And Nick Bosa doesn't seem to be the loudest guy either. He, you know, you heard him like talking after the game. It doesn't
I was there.
He wasn't stoked with the. And you were there?
Yeah.
Man, what was that like? Was there just a huge crowd around
huge
him?
Huge crowd. So how it works is Kyle Shanahan came in and spoke in the auditorium.
Uh huh.
After that, the PR person will say, all right, Jimmy Garoppolo, DeForest Buckner, Deebo Samuel, they're going to come to the podium. And then everybody else is available in the locker room. So you saw the almost entire, usually people stay, some go. There's multiple times, you know, we have a couple people out there and we split up. The whole group gets up and proceeds to the locker room because everybody wanted to ask Nick Bosa about the flag question. Everybody wanted to talk to him about planting that flag and Baker Mayfield. And what was even awesome about it is he didn't hold back.
No.
He didn't dodge, oh, that was a celebration I've been wanting to do. Nothing. He was like, no, everybody knew what that was.
That was totally, I mean, for one, I did not hear that. I did not think of that angle going into this game. Mm. I didn't hear a single person think of that, angle at all. And you're just looking at it. You're like, that's what a man looks like when he feels like he has a point to prove.
Did you see the play where that, like the play before that, that he made that happen? Literally, he took on a double team. He planted Joel Bitonio, who is a all pro guard, pro bowler, on his back, climbed over him on the ground, on all fours, climbing over him, and was able to sack Baker Mayfield for it. I mean, I was sitting there walking, and I was like, did he just plant Joel Bitonio? And I look up at the screen because we're seeing the replay, and I think I was sitting next to Damon, and JD's up there, Kyle Madsen. We're all like, what did he just do? And then you're looking at the celebration after it. Whew.
Yeah. With Nick Bosa, too, man. They were, I mean, they were Booger McFarland and Joe Tessitore. It didn't seem like they even realized that he was going to do that sort of
thing. No.
That's the type of stuff you see from a Aaron Donald, who they're going to see on Sunday, Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
I mean, a Clay Matthews
Von
at
Miller.
One point
yeah,
in
yeah.
his career. Mm. Like, they're, those. That's the type of things you see from a guy who gets the label of game wrecker. But I can't believe you actually standing in the locker room when that when the reporters were asking
oh, yeah.
all those questions.
Yeah, me and Kirsten, who works in our digital department, literally just stand. Matt Breida's locker is right next to his, and he had a big game, so he was obviously talking to the media afterwards too. But Bosa wasn't there right away, and everybody was just fiending to get a question out of Nick Bosa.
Damn. I mean, he's not so much of a like a big guy at the end of press conferences
no.
to give much, but the fact that he was actually
he didn't hold back.
No, the fact yeah. that he talked about the trash talk that he
yeah.
was giving all,
and then
of
he
them,
had his teammates all backing him up.
Everyone.
Everybody was hyped for him.
I mean, they had the pregame thing with Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield, too. Who knows? Because with Nick Bosa and knowing, I mean, Richard Sherman probably knew that this was a big game for Nick Bosa going yeah. up against Baker Mayfield. And Richard Sherman probably told me, like, look, he curved me on this handshake here. You got to get out there. You're going to be the one to destroy this dude.
How crazy is it if you think of kind of the timeline of Nick Bosa, where this guy as a sophomore at Ohio State with his brother being, I think it was the third overall pick to the Chargers that year. Since that happened, it was like, you got to watch out for the other Bosa. You got to watch in draft circles. You got to watch out for the other Bosa. And then he had that sophomore year where you're like, "Ooh, this guy is good." The next season, wire to wire, number one overall prospect. Quinnen Williams had his times where people liked him over him and things like that. But wire to wire, you open up mock drafts, you open up power rankings, my own things. Nick Bosa, number one, hey, all the way across the line. Falls to number two to the San Francisco 49ers, gets hurt. The other stuff people are talking about, oh, he's injury prone, all these things. Are we going to see this guy in the field? He has been every bit as advertised. I mean, I can't remember a prospect like this in a few years that everything we've said that is good about him,
yeah.
he's followed through with. I mean, he's done everything. And to see that at only, what, four games into the season, his expectations are even higher. You expect 5 sacks from him this week.
He's been doing this like the entire season,
yeah.
it feels like, because with the, you know, the next-gen stats, I
ooh,
love
NGS
the next gen stats,
NGS.
But as you're looking at these next gen stats, though, they do a I always bring this up on the morning show, but they do a stat where they basically average out the amount of yards that he gets, like closer to the quarterback. So, like,
okay.
say you're like on average, I think the league average is they get about 4.8 yards close to the quarterback, like far away from the quarterback every time they rush the passer. And with Nick Bosa, he's getting about 3 yards towards the quarterback. He's about 3 yards away every single game. So it was really only a matter of time before he actually. Before he actually breaks through, gets a couple of sacks because he's played.
He just uncorked that thing.
He did.
Baker Mayfield, man.
He did. And when you bring up his brother, Joey Bosa, Pro Football Focus did a thing where they said that he had a 36% pressure rate in this game. And Joey Bosa, in his 4 years in the league, he's never eclipsed 36%
best
ever
player
before.
On the field when he was out there.
Yeah.
Best player on the field. And that's on a field with Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield. The rest of the 49ers, multiple first-round picks. D. Ford, the best player on the field, undisputed.
And from the 707, I didn't say curbed. I said curve. And, I mean, after there's indisputable evidence that Sherman is blatantly lying.
We're talking about that he went and was hyping his team up.
And he did
up.
That.
Yeah.
Sheesh. I mean, it's like I say one thing and then they hear another. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, though, with Nick Bosa. It seems like right now, I mean... Are we putting him above D. Ford as the best pass rusher
yes.
on this team
oh,
right
yeah.
now?
Yes.
Man, that's crazy.
And think about this, Steven. And somebody brought this up, and I've been thinking about this for a while, ever since this big game from Nick Bosa. So now everybody knows who Nick Bosa is. Now he is a proven product in the NFL, right? That's safe to say. So what does that do for DeForest Buckner? Because I'm guarantee you every defensive coordinator is going into the game going, we have to stop DeForest Buckner. This guy's ruined games with a lot lesser talent around him.
Yeah.
We got to take him away, and we'll figure out. Let's test this rookie. Let's see if this rookie is legit. Well, that failed. And so now you're going to start blitzing Nick Bosa, putting extra protection on him. What does that do for DeForest Buckner?
Exactly.
And Dee Ford, if you want to go all the way down the line, but the guy that plays directly next to him. I mean, whew, that we have, maybe have we not seen this defensive line at its best?
Right now, with Robert Saleh and what he can do with the defensive ends, with Dee Ford and Nick Bosa, they're both two guys that can rush the passer for one. That's the one thing they have in common. The way they do it is completely different. And you saw Dee Ford, one of the sacks that he had against the Steelers, the sack that he had, you saw a product of it. You didn't see it so much in the Browns game. But they can have fun just switching Dee Ford and Nick Bosa on both sides
of the
defense.
They're using him on almost always third down. Robert Blair's out on the field a ton.
Could you imagine being an offensive tackle and you're kind of like mentally trying to get ready to go up against a guy like Nick Bosa and you're like, all right, I got to get ready for him to use his hands. I got to get ready for him to outmuscle me. And then all of a sudden you get to the line and you realize Dee Ford's right there and he's just going to beat you with speed off the edge. It seems like with these two guys, they got like a perfect mix with one another. And with DeForest Buckner, I got to look back at it a little more, but the whole narrative with DeForest Buckner was that he's going to take up the double teams, which are going to create just one-on-ones for Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. And Nick Bosa and Dee Ford have been getting those one-on-ones that they need. And it seems
Eric Armstead, when he's out there, these guys are all doing it.
Yes. And I mean, it's one thing with Malcolm Brown, what he's going to have to do, one emphasis they're putting on him for this game for sure is you're going to have to chip one of them. Just chip one every single play. I think they're going to be throwing a lot downfield this game simply because they're going to be trying to block whatever pass rush they got going.
One of the most underrated pieces of this Rams offense this season has been Gerald Everett, their tight end. He blew up last week, had a big game against Seattle. This guy's kind of taken that next step. They have Tyler Higbee there, too. They use two guys. But because of this defensive line, and kind of you can say that the Rams offensive line has been at best suspect. Andrew Whitworth, he had a good game last week, probably his best game of the season so far. But the rest of those guys, at best. So now the 49ers defense is probably taking away Gerald Everett a little bit because he's going to have to stay home to protect.
One guy who hasn't been on the field is weird. This is going to be a weird thing to talk about this offensive line and why the Rams offensive line isn't looking as good as it was last year. But Roger Saffold hasn't been on the field. And when you're on the left side with Whitworth and with Saffold,
he's on a different team now.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't been on the field for the Rams. So
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So like with no Roger Saffold, I mean, it seems to have made some sort of difference because they're just not running the ball nearly as much as they were. I mean, as they were last year. I mean, this year,
I'm sure it's Todd Gurley has a piece of that too.
Yeah, and well, I mean, without Todd Gurley, though, that's going to be one to watch out for is just how they're actually going to approach the run game.
Do you think
game?
If the 49ers win, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, the narrative will be, well, they didn't have Todd Gurley.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. That's going to be, at least of all the 49er haters right now, because, I mean, when you're looking at it, it's just going to be all talk afterwards, like they only beat the Rams. But in the end, this game against the Browns, you're looking at it, and you're saying, look, if they do lose against the Rams, you're like, look, they're still 4-1. It's a week to week.
But I think you're pumping the brakes big time on all this hype, all this expectation.
Momentum.
This show would be completely different next week after a loss than it would be today. All of these kind of buzzwords we're saying about this team get a lot more quiet with the loss this week. That's why I think this game is, you know, I'm not saying it's a must win. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I think it's as important of a game as you've had all season. Yes, it's early in the season, but this is your chance for a statement win. I don't think the win versus the Browns is a quote, air quotes right now, statement win.
I think, is there ever going to be a new term for must win?
No.
You know? Because like after, with 17 weeks in the NFL season, it feels like every game, unless you're the Dolphins. Unless you're the Dolphins,
must-lose.
It's a must-lose game.
Yeah.
If you're the Dolphins,
we got Finn Watch coming for you guys later this evening.
Finn Watch is our best segment that we do, or at least best part of that segment.
Finn Watch is going to get contentious this week. It's the toilet bowl, people.
Ooh, are we looking at a win for the Dolphins though? Going up against the Redskins.
I'm nervous. I got that little tickle going.
But going forward though, I feel like we need to create, for one, just a new term for must-win. There's got to be something different. But you're right though.
Nice win.
Something.
Yeah.
Just something that this game going forward.
Nice call win.
Nice call win.
Yeah.
There we go. But
it's all about the brand.
Good win. But with this four, like if they go 4-1, it's still just a 4-1 record. But it's 4-1 with an asterisk because, again,
you couldn't beat the best.
All you could do was beat the AFC North. Isn't this crazy? Mm. I thought about this after they beat the Browns, just absolutely destroyed them. But the Steelers, obviously, we saw what happened with Mason Rudolph. They're going to be they're not going to be with Mason Rudolph this week, right?
I saw it was Devlin Hodges, baby.
Devlin Hodges is coming in, the third stringer. Obviously, we saw what Mason Rudolph after that game with the Steelers.
Sad, man.
It was really sad. It was sad. I mean, the NFL couldn't get a cart. That was the whole reason they couldn't get a cart to take him off. But with the Steelers and the way the Ravens are looking right now, the Ravens are not looking as hot as they did at the beginning of the season. And the Browns, if you look forward at their schedule, can you believe that if we see a loss from the 49ers and they go 4-1, and I mean, looking at the Browns, isn't it crazy that you can think that the Browns have more of a chance of winning their division than the Niners, even though they're complete opposite teams right now?
It's crazy.
That's all I could think about after they beat the Browns. Yeah. It's like, I'm looking at the AFC North, like, the Browns could still make the playoffs even after the way they looked in this game with the Steelers, with the Ravens, and obviously the Bengals. They're in must-lose mode, too.
And I would love to hear from the 49er fans out there about this game. If you are nervous, if a loss here kind of brings back those feelings from the start of the season, if Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there and tosses a couple interceptions, are you feeling how you did maybe at the start of the season that, no, we're not going to beat the Rams here? Hit us up, 888-957-9570.
Damn.
Woo!
Look at you, man.
Professional, baby.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 704 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Bosa and D Ford kind of remind me of Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney, the pass rush combo the Colts had at the peak of their powers.
If it is that, the 49ers, cha-ching, they just hit the jackpot because, I mean, that was as nasty as it got.
Yeah, with Dwight Freeney's spin move.
The spin move.
That was one of the nastiest moves, just pass rushing moves of all time.
Did you, if you ever played as the Colts on Madden, you had to use Dwight Freeney, and you just like circle, spin move every time you're using him, because you're bound to get through on one of them, right?
And also from the 704, he sent another text, he or she. Nice guy. You still got Dalvin Cook is absolutely the best running back over McCaffrey. Look,
I remember when we had that conversation.
I do too. Look, the NFL, Tommy, it's a week-to-week league, and my takes, they're week-to-week takes.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
I can have...
You get a hall pass.
I have different takes for different weeks.
Yeah.
God, man, did McCaffrey look good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's just about as much of a threat as any round.
There was like a video cut up that was out on Twitter. I need to find it, and I'll retweet it so you guys out there can see it.
Yeah.
It was him every time he was lined up against, I think it was Quincy Williams, he's the brother of Quinnen Williams. He's a linebacker for the Jaguars. It would show Ron Rivera, whatever the offense the Panthers were running, get him in a one-on-one matchup with him. I mean, it was done. I mean, he was running circles around him.
What he can do is scary, and the fact that he's still relatively young in terms of the league. I mean, there's no chance you could say that anyone is better than Christian McCaffrey right now. So that's a take I can really just reverse the truck. Put it back a little
bit. But Dalvin's still doing his thing.
Dalvin's still damn good.
Yeah.
But he ain't
And Saquon's been injured.
He ain't no Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Tell you that much. All right. Coming up, as Tommy asked, as a 49er fan, are you nervous for this Sunday? Or does maybe just being the fact that you're 4-0 and you could go after it, you could go 4-1 if a loss happens?
Are you satisfied with 4-1?
Yeah, would you be okay with that? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, 888-957-9570. It's Nice Call with Stephen Langford and Tommy Call here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
It's a Nice Call here on 95.7 The Game with Stephen Langford and Tommy Call. Feel free to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. 49er fans, we want to hear from you right now. I mean, it's tomorrow's game for it. Are you nervous? I mean, you're going into LA right now. You got a
feeling that little tingle in your tummy.
You're undefeated. You got the 4-0 record, but then you realize. I mean, you got that tingle in your tummy.
Yeah, little nerves, baby, little butterflies.
Super eager. Come on.
Really super eager to get out there and play against.
Super eager.
That's my Bosa impression. It's pretty bad. But are you nervous for this upcoming game on Sunday? You are undefeated right now. You're 4-0. I mean, but you've only played three teams from the AFC North and one team from the NFC South, and then you go into this against a divisional rival who just lost against the Seahawks and kind of a heartbreaker for Rams fans on Thursday night.
Break the leg.
And if you lose this game and you go 4-1, the narrative on the 49ers could completely switch. So Chilton Autobody text line 95795.
Would that get brought up, the F word?
Frogs?
Frauds.
Frauds? Yeah. Oh. I mean, that you gotta be a... I mean, you got to be a real
hot take artist,
son of a, in order to get the fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, you also got to be a hot take artist. It takes a lot to just call someone a fraud.
It does.
I mean, have you ever called anyone a fraud on the
air? I'm not going to lie. I've dropped a few fraud words in my days, in some of my stories and some of my tweets out there.
You know,
I'm not calling the 49ers that. I'm just saying a loss here does bring those trolls out.
Maybe we should just start a segment, fraud or frog. Does that work?
Yeah. What would you rather be?
A fraud or a frog?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. One thing we haven't really even mentioned going into this game, though, Tommy, is Mike McGlinchey. And he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. And he was getting arthroscopic surgery on his knee. We didn't know about that until Wednesday, 2 days after they crushed the Browns on Monday night. So you're going to be going in with Daniel Brunskill at...
Shout out to the AAF.
Right tackle. Shout out to the San Diego Fleet.
Yeah.
I was a big Fleet guy when the AAF were on.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the AAF was a very popular thing around this station when it was going on. There was a group chat, AAF. I think you were involved in it.
I was involved in it, but then I got kicked out because I was just making fun of everybody.
There was some serious stuff. There was some gambling. There was some action thrown down on some AAF games.
It got a little too serious for my AAF taste, but you're going in there with two offensive linemen who you'd never really expected to get the start, and Sam Young, a guy who you brought on 2 weeks ago, who was there in preseason, but then they released and brought him back after Joe Staley was injured. You're going to be using
former
him.
Former Miami Dolphin.
I've seen him,
yeah.
I mean, glad he got out of there.
Yeah.
And you're going, you got him as your swing tackle, and obviously Akella Witherspoon still out. And, George Kittle's listed as questionable, but I think Kyle Shanahan said, I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think he's going to be playing, even though he is listed as questionable. They just want to be precautionary with that. But you're going to be without a couple of starters. And one, well, I didn't mention, Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Pull back out for 4 to 6 weeks, too.
And with Kyle Juszczyk being out, that probably puts a little more pressure on George Kittle to be versatile, to use him in different situations. We're probably going to see some Ross Dwelly. We're definitely going to see Levine Toilolo because of his blocking skills. And now that he's questionable, a little banged up, maybe does those responsibilities go to Ross Dwelly? Do we not see George Kittle all over the field like we're used to? So those things are all going to play a factor into it. But a texter here sent us in a text, and I think this kind of will summarize everything that we mean here when we say this. It's games like this are why we paid Jimmy G. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. You paid him like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. You paid him like a guy who's going to go out there and throw the ball 50 times a game and you know, spray the football all over the field and throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. We haven't really seen him do that yet because that's not the 49ers game plan. They are defined by their run game. Do you go away from that? Do you go away from the run and you put the football in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands? Do you want to see him throwing it all over the field?
I think that's the biggest mystery that we're going to face going into this. Are they going to be going out there with 21 personnel where they go out with 2 running backs and 1 tight end? Are they going to be using Ross Dwelly as much? Are they going to be going with 12 personnel with just, you know, Matt Breida in the backfield, as well as Tevin Coleman, who had a pretty damn good game for his first game back against the Browns? Are you going to be going out there with 12 personnel? That's the biggest question. Mm-hmm. But this texter is absolutely right. I mean, for one, this texter continued and said, if he chokes, we need to find another option. Needs to prove he can win big games. 4-0 means nothing with 0 division wins. Are we going to be going that far after the game? Because there is pressure on him for sure.
Yeah, I think he does need to win a big game. He does need to bring that to the table. And you brought up something really interesting. And I've kind of have thought about this game of what's the key to victory. You want my key?
I want your key.
I'm gonna give you a key.
Give me the
key.
Right
now. I want to see Kyle Shanahan unleash Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida on the field at the same time. I saw it with my own 2 eyeballs in training camp. My own 2. My peepers.
Yeah. Saw what? Them go out there?
Yeah, the two running backs on the field. You know, the old pistol set with the two running backs next to him. We saw that in Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan drew up plays for that with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. We talked over the offseason, Steven. You and I talked about we want to see Tevin Coleman as a receiver. Ooh. He's going to help this receiving core with what he can do as a pass catcher. That formation with the two running backs in the backfield, that's a passing set. That is not a running set. This isn't the 1950s. That is used as a passing set these days. I think if you want to get the football out quickly, you want to get it away from Aaron Donald, use Tevin Coleman out of the backfield to pass the ball. Use these two running backs. This is why you have, like this texture said, but this is why you have Kyle Shanahan. You put pressure on him to draw up these type of plays to get his playmakers in the with the football in their hands in open space. I don't think you abandon the run game, but you give yourself some cushion by saying, are these guys going to run up the middle or are they going to beat us in the pass game, which both guys can do.
That was the big thing that came out of last game, too, was just the fact that they got Matt Breida going with that 83-yard TD. There is no other, the defense felt like they had no other option but to try and stop the run, and Kyle Shanahan was using it just for play action in general. I mean, go out there, throw a little pistol out there with split backs, throw out something new that this Rams defense probably hasn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to do something different.
Yeah. I think that's why you, like, think about it. Matt Breida, he's doing what we all thought he could do. He did the same stuff last year. Big plays. Looks like a featured back. But you bring in Jerick McKinnon. You bring in Tevin Coleman this year. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan has a plan to use two running backs at the same time. Let's see it.
888-957-9570 for this game tomorrow. If you're a 49er fan, are you nervous for this game going in there 4-0, undefeated? Or if you come out with a loss even, you're comfortable with it. You're fine. It's just on to the next week. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Rodney in Petaluma. What's going on, Rodney?
707.
Hey, thank you. I'm 49er Rod. Thanks, you guys. I'm an old Candlestick fan, and I'll tell you, I am very confident going in tomorrow because I see the ghost of Bill Walsh.
Wow.
In the 80s, he called situation substitution on defense. It wasn't just Fred Dean. It wasn't just Dwayne Board. It wasn't just Jim Stuckey. It was Louis Kelcher. It was Pierce Holt. They're going to come on tomorrow. I hope on defense. I hope we kick off, and from the very get-go, they're going to see an onslaught from the outside. Boom!
Boom! Boom!
Ford, Joey Bosa, you know, Buckner, Arson, and you're going to see coming in that guys like Sheldon Day,
DJ Jones.
Solomon, they're going to step up. And that's what's going to rattle Goff. On that front, I think, you know, you're going to also see on offense, yes, I agree with you, Steve. Have the two back set with Coleman and Breida, and then go back to the Bill Walsh when the days of Wendell Tyler and Roger Craig have two backs like that. It's called high percentage, short swing throws like Joe Montana did. I think Jimmy can do it. Get them out in space, and then you train your wide receivers. I'm sure Deebo Samuel are going to have blocking techniques as well as able to catch the ball, too. I think Debo's going to step up and do a really good job, but get that ball downfield with these wide receivers. Throw some blocks, and I think they're going to start just putting up touchdowns in the first half.
Rod's ready to suit up tomorrow.
Rod, thank you for the
get
call.
Get this guy in the locker room.
Yes.
Woo!
49er
boom.
Rod.
Yeah, boom. Turn the boom. Volume up. Chill. I got the boomer vibes when he hit me with the boom, boom. Tough acting, snacting.
Oh, my God.
That was Madden.
That was Madden.
Yeah, sorry, I messed up. Sorry, Rod. Shout out to you.
I got to say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Woo! Man, if Steve Ballmer were the owner of this team, he'd be going nuts. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 650. You guys don't sound like you know what you're talking about. The 49ers are not supposed to win this game. Rams are defending NFC chance at home with a long rest, and the 49ers are on a short week on the road. If the Niners win, it will be awesome, but if they lose, you can't read too much into it.
I don't think the expectations are like that when you're 4-0. You have to raise your expectations at this point.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.